My guest today is recording artist Will Wesley. He was sneaking into bars at 15 with a beard to disguise his age to captivate audiences with his beat-up guitar on stage. Well, Will's musical journey began in the Baton Rouge blues scene and touring with legends like Larry Garner and winning the New Orleans Regional Division of the International Blues Challenge twice. He later served as the music director for Grammy-winning blues artist Grady Champion. And in 2020, he collaborated with producer Phil Chandler on the album Both Sides of the Tracks, featuring the top-charting popular single, Attitude. Will's career soared, touring globally and collaborating with Swiss rockabilly star Florian Fox. And despite a career that has already found him touring globally, this is somewhat of a new beginning for Will Wesley as he finds himself ready to conquer country music and the world. Let's welcome country recording artist Will Wesley to the show. Welcome, Will.
Hello, everybody. It's good to be here today.
Yeah, well, how would you describe your journey in music since the days of sneaking into the bars to play your music?
Chaotic, manic, and bipolar. You know, but to be honest with you, man, it's something I wouldn't trade for the world. You know, music has its ups and downs, but from the start, you know, it's been a journey and it's been exciting the whole way, man. So I'm really excited about what the next chapter's bringing, and I'm excited to bring it to the people.
Well, how has your life experiences shaped you as a musician?
You know, from the start, you know, coming out with my father being a musician and being around it my whole life, it started off just understanding that being a musician is more than just, you know, playing the instrument and singing. You know, there's business aspects. There are things that evolve the more you get into the music, the more you have to get into the business side and everything else. So, you know, what I've learned the most about it from the start is understanding the involvement that comes with it altogether, just the music, the writing, and the whole process. It's really, I would have never predicted that at 15 years old.
Well, was it your father that introduced you to the blues?
It was. My father was a guitar player locally, you know, and he played in a lot of blues bands. He did play in country bands as well. So seeing him come in at 2 a.m. from smoky bar rooms and all this stuff, when most people would say, wow, that's a rough life, I thought, I want nothing more. That's everything I want out of life.
Well, who are some of your musical influences?
You know, I have so many. You know, in the blues world, I always loved B.B. King, Stevie Ray Vaughan, Joe Bonamassa, Johnny Lang. But in the country world, they're the great storytellers. Like, my overall favorite in country music is Hank Williams. I love his stories outside of the scene and in the scene, everything he ever did. I love Merle Haggard and Johnny Cash. And I like the new guys, too. I love Eric Church. I love Jason Aldean. You know, I love all that stuff as a whole. So really, as an artist, I'm kind of I look at myself as a student of all these music and all these great artists.
You know, they're especially, well, the blues, you know, when we think of the blues, it's twofold. One, you think of the guitar players. Yes. And then you think of the songs that they sing. And country, you know, singing is what takes the front stage more than the guitar playing. But, you know, we have people like Chet, you know, well, we had people like Chet Atkins. Of course, yes. We have Vince Gill, Brad Paisley. For those who may not be well-versed in the world of guitar, Ry Cooder is another one.
Oh, Lord. Now you're starting to talk some serious guitar playing. I'm starting to suspect you may play a guitar yourself.
I know a lot of guitar players that everybody brings up Ry Cooder, no matter what. But you brought up some of my favorites because I am a big Joe Bonamassa fan.
Oh, man. He's one of the best, isn't he? You know, I've seen him live a couple of times, and he will melt your face off. He made me want to use my guitar for a boat paddle.
Well, were you ever into the others? Like, let's see, Albert King, Freddie King. I mean, yeah. Man, they, look, you know. Go ahead.
From Bobby Blue Bland to Albert King to Freddie King, you know, I love all these. I come up listening to, you know, like the Stax blues records and stuff like that, you know. So everybody from Howlin' Wolf to Muddy Waters, Robert Johnson, all these people who laid the platform, you know, it's really not that different from blues to country. You had people lay the foundation and everyone just builds off of it from there. But in the end, it's the guitar playing, but it's also the stories you're telling. And what do they say? Three chords and the truth. Huh?
Well, where would you place your guitar playing at? In what type of style? If you were to pick another artist, what style would it be?
Mine is more of a mix. You know, being a student of music, I've studied everything from jazz to blues to country to rock and all those things. So I would really say that definitely as an artist, mine is a kind of a fusion between blues and country picking. You know, like I would definitely say Stevie Ray Vaughan has an influence in a lot of what I do. But also on the country front, you know, I've grew up listening to people like you said, Vince Gill and people like that. So I try to entwine those influences in there as well.
Yeah, you know, I wish that we'd have more country guitar players in the forefront. You know, people look at it as their secondary talent when technically it's the first talent.
It is.
That pushed the songwriting into high gear. I mean, even Steve Warner is probably one of the best pickers in country.
You know, and he doesn't get credit for it because he's such a great songwriter and all these other things. People don't acknowledge that he is a scary picker. And even people like Keith Urban in the modern scene, you know.
Keith
Urban's a guitar player now.
Well, I think in modern day country, Keith would have to be number one. I mean, because and then here's Vince Gill. He's playing with the Eagles now.
Yeah, well, that's not too shabby of a gig to land.
Exactly. Well, you know, the thing about country music, it's especially today, it seems to mesh of different styles of music. We're hearing in country music, we're hearing it from pop to rock to blues. And yes, at least there's still some bit of traditional country that still remains there. For you moving into this genre, does that help you because you have a blues rock background?
You know, I think that's single-handedly why I moved into the genre, because I do have country roots as a child with my father and my whole family. But, you know, I've experimented in a lot of genres. But country music always found a home for me. And nowadays, because they have so many elements interplaying within that style, you know, it's easy to bring my foundational roots, but also my more rockin' style to it. So there's a home for me there because I can mix what I really am, so I can really be myself.
Yeah, it's amazing. I think now there's so many different types of artists in country music that when they are in country, they can just call themselves a country artist, even if their album sounds nothing like it.
Very true, very true. I mean, they got artists right now. I think the number one album a couple weeks ago was Beyonce, right? So she's interplaying in country music right now as well. So I mean, it's definitely an open revolving door these days. I think that's the best way I can put it.
Yeah, and I hope that, you know, artists who are at well, there's not too many at the level of Beyonce, but not to treat country music as an easy genre to conquer, because I don't think that's fair to the other artist.
No. I agree with that 100%. It's not that it's an easy genre to conquer, but it's more open to different musical or artistic styles. And I really embrace that. You know, I embrace that it's getting more and more global around the world. You know, we're touring places where you would never think country music would be popular, but it is. And it's growing and growing. And that's a very special thing to see. So in a sense, I'm actually glad to see all these artists experimenting with the genre, you know. But I also believe in staying true to it as well.
Oh, sure. Now, how in the world did you end up touring globally?
You know, it's a lot of starting out. We were very creative. Me and my business partner, producer Phil Chandler, we were very creative in how we started. You know, when I began touring Europe, I was doing it as a music director, as you mentioned, with Grady Champion. And then when I came out with my own name, I found myself wanting to tour there, but questioning how. And then I found out, you know, we would interlink with other artists. So that's where Florian Fox and I became. We were introduced by a mutual agent. And we get on the phone one day and he tells me, I want to play in America. And I said, well, how coincidental. I want to come back and play in Europe. And he said, well, why don't you open for me here and I'll open for you there? And we started what started out as a business venture actually became a friendship. We're very close friends to this day, and we're gearing up for a tour of Europe in June. So we're actually about to go back, and we got some sold out shows to do. So we're ready to bring country music back to the Swiss.
Well, tell me this. What are the major differences of touring in Europe to Well, you know, here in America, a lot of people don't realize that country music is liked overseas. What is it like to tour there with an audience that loves country versus touring here
I would say mostly the mindset, because the way they look at country in Europe is more from a purist perspective. They want to hear the traditionals, and they also want to know that you know those word for word, chord for chord. And if you don't, they're going to be very acknowledging that you don't know it. And they also study your music. You know, when I went over there to see them actually knowing the lyrics to my song and singing them back, it was almost nervous. And I'm like, man, I better not slip up on these lyrics because these people know it. And it's also the way they react to songs. You know, here in America, it's great. You know, we have a lot of rowdy bars, a lot of country places that we play where it's just a big party. But in Switzerland, from my experiences, they do party, but it's been a lot more of a listening room experience. They are very listening. And it can actually throw you off when you first do it if you're not used to it. We would first start playing, and I was like, I'm used to getting a reaction from people, and these people have not reacted one bit. And then when the song ended, the room, it just a wave of applause, and it dawned on me, okay, it's just a mindset of music. It's neither one are right or wrong. It's just how they approach it there. So that would be my biggest discrepancy between American and European shows.
Yeah, that would make sense. You know, some of the things that I've heard, I've talked to bands that spend a ton of time touring Europe. And yeah. There, for a lot of people who here in America think that rock music is dead, mm-hmm. rock lives in Europe.
Oh, and God, yeah.
Yeah, they thrive on it. So I was talking to this one band, it's been a few years ago, And I said, why do you tour Europe so much more than America? He goes, well, we make a ton of money in Europe. And he goes, if we didn't make that money, we wouldn't be able to tour America because America doesn't pay the bills.
Well, there is a fair amount of truth in that. I wouldn't want to shine the light on that unless it was brought up, but it's very true. Europe is definitely a more prospering market in a lot of ways. You know, and we make money here in the United States, but it's always a prospering market to go to Europe. And it's also the appreciation. They appreciate the artist as an original artist so much over there that it's staggering. It really is. It's a lot of fun to go there. It's a lot of fun to play for the Swiss and the European.
Yeah, I was talking with music legend Don McLean one day, and he loves touring Europe, and he loves touring the UK, you know, because, you know, they just love all forms of music. Here in America, we're losing some of the genres based on the fact that the radio stations won't play it, or you don't see the categories popping up at award shows anymore.
Yeah, even in rock music, they say that it's been downsized, the awards that are showing up, you know. So yeah, you're absolutely right. You know, it's we got to get the traditional traditional music back on the radio, man. It's important. We got to get this to the people. And that's why I'm glad to be doing this show today.
Well, I was reading some of your background. How were you able to use your depression to fuel a new outlet for your music?
Well, you know, I'm a believer that songs in itself, when you're the writer of these songs, are expressions of who you are. It's almost therapeutic in itself, you know, and to write music has always helped me with the ups and downs that you will go through, but also telling your life story. You know, I mean, when I got together with Phil in 2020, you know, there was a lot of uncertainty. I mean, the world had shut down due to COVID. I just come out of a pretty bad breakup, you know, and all these things were interplaying in my songwriting and things that I had gone through. So the way that I've always dealt with those kind of lows is to write and perform, and it's always picked me up. So music has almost been a therapy, a medicine to combat depression and things like that. So that's what I've always used it for. I do it for y'all, but I guess I do it for myself as well.
So did it fuel you into move into country music?
Well, you know, country music has always been at the core of who I was, you know, starting out listening to it. But yes, and in a sense it did, because I love the honesty of country music. I love the truth of their stories. I find relatability to it. And finding that relatability has always helped me to, you know, if someone else is going through it, it's normal what I'm going through, you know, and that's what country music is. And that's how it does help with depression and those kind of things. Yes.
Well, tell me about this brand new single, Ready to Ride.
Oh, Ready to Ride. It's had a journey. It's had an interesting up and down journey. And I'm glad to tell the people about it. It's a country rocker, a let your hair down, roll down the windows, blare it at the parties kind of song. But the truth behind the song definitely has a little bit more of a serious story. You know, my manager, Brian Abrams, had heard the single and really loved it and said, this is the first one. We're going to push the radio and everything else. And he had done so much work to get that out. And then we lost him in December. He passed. And to lose my manager, it caused a world of uncertainty. We didn't know what we were going to do. We didn't know how the single was going to drop. And just by an act of God, his wife, Yulia Abrams, said to me in a phone call, she said, I want to keep my husband's work alive and well. He believed in you and I believe in you. And we're going to get these singles out to the people. And, you know, it's a testimony that God works in mysterious ways, how we got this single out. So it's a very personal single to me. And I've been overwhelmed by the reaction to the people. Everyone seems to really like it. So that makes me feel like we're doing our job and Brian's living on through the music.
Well, I love the song, and it's very radio friendly, which is what songs need to be today.
You know, we were wanting to get a good radio single out there. We're trying to introduce the world to Who I Am, you know, and that's the way we believe in doing it, is coming out with songs that everybody can like. We try to keep it universal the best we can.
Well, are you planning more singles this year, and will that lead up to a new full-length album?
It is. We have single after single coming out. May 10th, we're dropping my next single, Honky Tonk USA. And we got a music video that's coming with it. It's kind of pretty humorous video. It's talking about a lot of what you're talking about, which is, where is current country music at? And we're kind of poking fun at that a little bit. And that's dropping on May 10th. And then we're going to be moving in. I'm releasing another single with Florian Fox. And I'm also going to be releasing a personal single called 12 O'Clock in Texas. It's a story about the death of my brother and how it impacted me. And that's coming out this year too. And we're going to be releasing them all year long. So y'all can't miss me. You just can't do it. You cannot hide from Will Wesley. He's coming after you.
I love that, Will. And I know that, you know, we were mentioning some of the best guitar players in the world. What does your rig consist of?
Well, you know, this is funny, but when we first started out, I was all about Fender Twin Reverb amps and wiring them up and Marshall half stacks and Gibson Les Pauls. And I still play the Les Paul and I still play the Fender Telecaster. But, you know, for touring, we go more direct now. We got pedal boards. We go through the system, because the older I get, the more I realize, hey, these things are getting heavy to carry.
Yeah, I get that. So what's your main guitar right now?
Right now, for a lot of this country rock stuff we've been doing, I've been going to my old 74 Fender Telecaster. Scarlett is her name, and she's been doing a dang good job.
Wow, that is fantastic. Do you have a dream guitar that you would love to have?
I would like to have a custom-made Gibson Les Paul to all of my requirements. I think I'm going to have to get a hold of the Gibson company. And we're going to have to start hashing this out, because I've been waiting a little too long for that. So,
hey, that's an excellent way to go. And it's funny, because you mentioned where, you know, as artists get older, they don't want to be hauling all that equipment around. And it's great to play through the house system. But a Les Paul isn't the lightest guitar in the bunch.
You know your guitars, my friend. I think the Les Paul is one of the heaviest guitars in the bunch. It feels like you're holding a piece of a tree trunk. But I love the tone of a Les Paul, and a lot of my heroes played it. You know, we just lost Dickie Betts not long ago,
guitarist
for Allman Brothers. And I grew up listening to him, and he was a real staple of Southern rock, blues, and country to me. And he, growing up watching him, he always had that Gibson Les Paul, you know. And of course, in the rock and roll world, you gotta hold it to Slash. He's always gonna have one too. So,
well,
you know, I just love these people.
Well, yeah, I mean, you know, and I think the other one that I can think of that that probably weighs a little more than it should would be a Gibson Explorer.
Oh, God, yes. I've never even owned a Gibson Explorer, but I have held one, and they are incredibly heavy. You can actually work out with them. You can bench press them.
Oh, yes. It's like holding a lumber yard in your hands.
It really is. You're holding an oak tree.
I guess as you get older, you have to start moving to hollow bodies.
Well, you know, I'm not that old yet. I'm going to hold that Les Paul until it's just not able to do. But when I get in my 70s or 80s, you know what? I might have to go into the hollow body. Yeah, who knows? I might be playing an ovation.
I have one of those.
They got a great sound. They got a great sound. They round back, but it's got a great sound.
Well, yeah, because back in the day, the only two people that I knew that actually played an ovation was Glenn Campbell.
Oh, of course.
And Neil Diamond. They both had ovations.
I did not know Neil Diamond played an ovation. You learn something new every day. I did not know that.
Yeah. Well, for Will Wesley, what else do you have planned for 2024?
Look, we got a very just down-to-earth schedule here. We're going to be touring. We're going to be releasing singles. We're going to be releasing music videos. You cannot hide. We're going to be releasing ads. We're going to have things all over the great planet over here, just moving around. You cannot miss me.
I love that. And ladies and gentlemen, head over to willwesleymusic.com for all things Will Wesley. Check out his tour schedule here in the States as well as in Europe, because, hey, we reach everybody in the planet. So you can check that out and buy your tickets accordingly. Also, keep tabs on Will, because he's going to have so much upcoming brand new music that you are going to want to check out. But you're going to have to check out his current single, Ready to Ride. It rocks. It is fantastic. High quality music. That's the only thing we bring around here. And Will Wesley is bringing it to you loud and proud and clear. So, hey, Wesley, I want to thank you for being on the show today. And you got to keep rocking the rest of the year.
Well, man, I want to thank you for having us on the show and for our tour schedule. We just had a big show added that I want to let everyone know about. May 22nd, Los Angeles, California, we are going to be opening up for country artist Rashad at the Whiskey A Go-Go. So if you want to come to the Whiskey A Go-Go, come on, buy those tickets. We want to see you there. We got a big show planned.
Hey, there you go. Country music invades the Sunset Strip. I love that. I love that. So, Will, much success to you for 2024. And ladies and gentlemen, I want to thank you for watching and listening today. Check out more of our star-studded interviews on our YouTube channel, as well as a dozen digital audio platforms. Please follow us not only on YouTube, but also Spotify and iTunes as well. And as for me, well, I wish you to have a great day, and I'll see you next time.